Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his choke horse. But it's no horse bar, middle fingers like a Stone Cold. What is good, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Slappin' Mead Wrestling Podcast. As always, I'm Wee Too Deep, and with me, representing the Super Bowl 59 champions, the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a DJ Wavy D. We're going to jump right on in. As always, go to the links in the description. Hit up the WWE shop. Hit up Expedia. If you're an Eagles fan and you want to go up to Philly, it's going to be snowing here in the next 2 or 3 days. So I'd be careful with flying into Philly. But you can plan all that, vacation stuff through Expedia. But with that, let's jump right on into Let's Get Cooking. And we got a good one here. The prompt is, you have to take an NXT star, promote them to the main roster, and get them over with the main roster crowd. And there's an idea. I'm going to call it the nerdy D logic that, there's probably 50 to 60% of the main roster crowd don't watch NXT. I agree with it in principle. And so the idea is you have to retell the story of the character once they get promoted. So basically that's what we're doing. The question is, who you picking and what's their story? Wavy D wants to play a game with me here. He's going to give me his outline, and he wants me to see if I can guess the character. So I'm going to let him go first. I took an easy way out on this one, but.
All right. What's good, folks? It's your boy, DJ Wavy D, in the building. All right. So we start off the story, all right? We have the inaugural NXT graduation tournament sponsored by Chase U.
Okay.
Okay? So essentially what the idea is, it's like, like a 16-man tournament, almost like a Dusty Cup Classic. And essentially, the winner of the tournament gets a guaranteed main roster contract.
Yeah.
They get to choose between SmackDown and Raw. Okay. So, my person, he wins this match. He wins this set of matches. He wins the tournament. He spends a couple weeks entertaining offers from Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce. Okay. He's being courted by both rosters. He picks Raw.
Okay.
And he's promoted and hyped up as the next prototype.
Okay.
All right. So he has. So now we're at the Raw after SummerSlam, and he has his debut match against Drew McIntyre.
Hmm.
He looks promising. He has some nice spots. But overall, he loses in about a 10-minute match to a Claymore.
Okay.
Shortly after the match backstage, in a little segment, he's approached by Chad Gable, an American Maid. And Chad Gable's kind of like, if you play your cards right, maybe we'll recruit you and you can join us. You'll fit just right in with the Alpha, with the American Maid.
Mm-hmm.
You actually remind me of one of my old acquaintances.
I think I know where we're going.
And then later on the show, he's approached by Dominic Mysterio in Judgment Day. And, he's being recruited by Judgment Day as well.
Okay.
Mind you, when this guy debuts, he's pushed as a face originally. He's being pushed as a face. He's a good guy. Next white me baby face.
Okay.
And then next week we see him being interviewed backstage where he's questioned about who he might join or who he thinks he might hang out with. You know, he's not quite sure. He kind of puts the questions off a little bit. You know, weeks go by. He's wrestling in matches against superstars like Gunther, can't get a win. He wrestles someone like Kaiser. He gets his first victory. He's wrestled superstars like Penta. He's putting on good matches. He gets a victory over Penta in a close match. You know, weeks go by. You know, he gets what's it called? And then he finally gets approached by the New Day.
Okay.
You know, and the New Day try to bring him in. And then, you know, he gives the New Day the cold shoulder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even the heels don't fuck with the New Day. So why would he mess with the New Day? So, you know, that gets the New Day's attention, you know, and they say, watch your back, sonny. You know what I'm saying? Along those lines. And then, so after weeks of trying to be recruited by these heel factions, he has a pep talk with Jey Uso, World Heavyweight Champion Jey Uso, I might add.
Okay.
And, you know, Jey Uso tells him that he has a friend returning next week that he wants him to meet.
Okay.
And he tells him, you know, he's pretty much in the pep talk. Jey Uso tells him, you know, I had become World Heavyweight Champion overnight. You know, I went through battles. You know, I had someone watching my back. You know, and, you know, he tells him that he has a friend who recently just resigned with the company, who's, you know, a former tag team champion, who he thinks he should talk to next week on Raw.
Okay.
So, next week, you know, we see our superstar. He's talking to someone who's slightly off camera. All right. And then our superstar, when it's time for his match, he comes down to the ring. And he reveals his new tag team partner in his match against the New Day. His happy partner is none other than Matt Riddle.
Okay.
So we bring back Matt Riddle, who, you know, is a fan favorite. The crowd loves him. Who's a good tag team wrestler. Who's also a good single star. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's someone to help get him over. You know, because, right. you know, your in-ring work can only get you over so much. You know, he has a good personality, but he's still green on the mic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we pair him up with Matt Riddle. There's someone Matt Riddle-esque, you know what I'm saying? Initially, I wanted to put him on SmackDown and kind of pair him with the Street Profits.
Okay.
But the Street Profits kind of turned bad. So right. Now, and I see this guy as more of a face.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have him on Raw, and he's going to be teaming with Matt Riddle for the foreseeable future before he can break out and become his own star.
Okay.
All right, that's all I got so far. Who do you think this superstar is?
So what sold me on this particular person was his interaction with Chad Gable. He said it reminded him of a familiar person that Chad Gable, obviously talking about Jason Jordan. Is this Dion Lennox?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Dion Lennox.
Yeah. The Chad Gable stuff, and you said new prototype. So I'm sitting over here like, who's like, at first I'm like, what white baby face do we have that could do this? And I'm like, no, okay, let's not just focus on, you know, the white part of John Cena, but there's a Dion Lennox, you know, fits, you know, the prototype character, you know, basic create a wrestler right now is what his look is. I think that'd be good. I didn't even consider him as one of my people. So I'm not going to play the guessing game. I chose Obafemi. Like I said, I'm taking the easy way out on this one. I think there's a very easy way to move Obafemi to the main roster. Have him retain at Stand and Deliver. You know, Jey Uso wins at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso's the biggest baby face in the company. The night after, or the Raw after Mania, probably be the hypest Raw we'll see all year. Jey Uso's yeeting with the championship. You know, we get 10-minute each sessions now. We're probably going to get 30 minutes once he wins the championship. So during this, I'm assuming Triple H read my mind when I wrote this down, because he sort of played into this last night with Gunther attacking Jay. This was what I was going to have Oba do, the Raw after Mania. Jay's in the middle of the ring. He just gets attacked by some, you know how WWE likes to do the black hoodie sweater whenever they're debuting someone. So dude in a sweater comes in. It's going to be hard to hide Oba Femi because the dude's freaking a beast. But Oba Femi comes out. He talks about how NXT's his, but he wants more. And he's going to make WWE his kingdom, and he's coming after all the gold. And so he attacks Jay on the Raw after Mania while still being NXT champion, and he's just running every show. You don't know when he's going to show up. The next, you know, the SmackDown after Mania, he comes in, he attacks Cody Rhodes, assuming Cody retains. Even if, you know, even if it's a Punk situation where Punk wins that championship, attacking Punk, it would still give you mad heat. And so he attacks the SmackDown champion. He comes in and he's just running all three shows. And you're sort of setting up like this dominant heel that can't be beaten. And he's beating the lower upper mid card and, you know, main title picture, you know, guys like Punk, Rollins, he's just beating them down. Almost sort of in a way like they were trying to do with Bronson Reed, where he's just unleashed. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing WWE, they'll do a storyline where he has to take out Braun Strowman, because that's what they always do with big guys. They got to take out Braun Strowman, which is fine. But essentially, that's the gist of how you get Oba Femi over. I think Oba Femi speaks for himself. He has above average mic skills, so we don't really need to pair him with anyone. And then his in-ring work is just phenomenal. So again, I think he can get himself over by himself. I just think the idea of, you know, what if there's a potentiality of like a SummerSlam? I think if you want to get more eyes on NXT as well, Jey Uso versus Oba Femi at SummerSlam sounds like a very interesting match. You can do like title for title if you wanted to, where Jey Uso could be, or the winner takes both championships, which if Jay can win that, that puts a lot more eyes on NXT, but if Oba wins, there's also eyes on him on the main roster. So it's a win-win either way. Because it's one of those things where, like, part of me feels like Oba's going to have, like, a year-long reign with this title, but I feel like he's the most ready of the men in NXT right now to be caught up. Like, Trick is there. I don't know why they're not pulling it, because they just released the Roadblock poster, and Trick's still on it. So I don't know what stories they got with Trick. I still think what we're going to get.
Are they doing him to Oba? Is that the next matchup?
No, because Oba's fight, well, this Saturday, Oba's got Waller and Theory. Yeah. I'm assuming they're going to finish Trick in them. I'm assuming. It depends on how Ethan Page and Javon Evans feud goes. Because my thought was always if Oba was going to lose the title, it was going to be to Javon Evans. Because I thought they could do like the David Goliath type story there. The small underdog Javon Evans, who just had his jaw broken by Ethan Page, coming back and winning the title from Oba. That was the story I had for Oba to lose the title. I mean,
I guess they'd even do a fail four-way match.
Yeah,
I could see that. Oba, Trick, Ethan, and Javon.
Yeah, I could see that. Oba Femi, when he gets to the main roster, as long as they just treat him the way they treated him in NXT, there's always the possibility they don't. He's going to get over. He just screams, you know, aura. My fear is that he's so well-liked that they're going to make him babyface. Triple H likes to do that a lot. But, you know, so you got to make him like a heel that's super, like someone like Dominic, where you boo him, but you actually like him at his character. So, you know, I took an easy way out on that one. I felt like Oba was like the easiest one to do. I think on a female side though, I mean, Roxanne's easy. They're already starting that. So throw her out. GD Dolan definitely needs to be called up. And I think with her, Shotzi and Tatum actually being a team, Shotzi already has main roster experience. Gigi doesn't really need anyone, but Tatum does. So I feel like Tatum could be caught up. They could sort of run the unholy trinity type thing they were running before they released Isla Dawn and run that storyline with this faction, because I think more people will connect to them. And Tatum could be sort of like the third wheel in that and benefit from the other two. But speaking of releases, we'll transition into this. WWE just did I don't want to say shit ton, but it's about 12 people got released. We'll go back like 2 or 3 weeks. It was announced that Duke Hudson was released from NXT. He was part of Chase U. We had Cedric, you know, Sonya Deville. I don't think it was technically released. I just think they're not re-signing her, is how it's been reported, which is good for her because she can just sign wherever now and doesn't have to wait the 90 days. Isla Dawn, like I just mentioned, AOP, which is AOP, no one really. You know, and with that Paul Ellering, the Good Brothers. The point that I want to make here is no one really cares. I mean, outside of Sonya, that one was kind of interesting because PFC was, you know, it felt like they were getting pushed at least some sort of storyline at Rumble.
I would say Sonya and Isla Dawn were the two more surprising ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get why they keep bringing the Good Brothers back just to keep releasing them. I feel like.
So the Isla Dawn one is interesting to me because Blair Davenport got released as well, which that pissed a lot of people off because she never really got an opportunity on the main roster, which I understand. But she was sort of with Isla and Alba Fire, and Alba Fire is the only one left, which is surprising. Because typically when they release one member of a tag team, they release both of them.
Hmm.
And so I guess they have plans for Alba. Part of me wonders.
Alba was a past.
She was
UK champion.
Yeah. Part of me wonders if they kept her for that, you know, because she's popular overseas, that they could sort of use that when they go over there. I don't know. I mean, got to get her on TV. SmackDown needs some sort of heel.
I do think Alba Fire is a really good single star.
Well, yeah.
If you tweak her gimmick, give her a new gimmick, I feel like she can flourish.
Absolutely. My general thoughts on this was I don't know what they expected to happen. But also, this is sort of spring cleaning. Mania season always brings out releases. And the people they released weren't doing anything. So for me, I always look at this as a way as for those who got released, they get 90 days of pay doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can heal up, relax, basically do the same thing they're already doing. They don't got to travel. They can negotiate a contract, and in 90 days they can show up on the indies and have a plan on what they're going to do.
Yeah, but also, these IWC members, not to cut you off, they get on my nerves because they're like, oh, WWE just gonna release them and yeah, 90 day. It's like, first of all, they're still getting paid.
Right.
All right. They're getting paid and they have 90 days notice, and they have 90 days of free money to line up another job. It's not like it's like, hey, we're gonna cut you off, you got no pay. All of a sudden, you got 3 months. Yeah, 3 months of paid time to find another job.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about now?
And, you know, a lot of people will probably use this segment to, like, predict where people are going. The only one I'm 100% certain with is Cedric. Cedric is definitely going to AEW, and he's definitely going to join either Swerve or join Bobby Lashley in them. Which will be fine. He definitely fits better over there. My only hesitation with that is his wife used to work for AEW, and they treated her like shit. So I don't know if Ariel Monroe, she went by Big Swole. She was released back in 2019 and had a whole bunch of shit with Britt Baker and shit. But on the other hand, though, now we're speaking about AEW, I don't know if they're officially like considered releases, but I saw that Starks, Miro, and Malakai Black have officially been removed from the AEW roster, which is interesting. I think Malakai probably comes back I think Starks definitely is coming over. I don't know where you put Rusev or Miro. He wasn't really all that over the first time. I forgot who it was. I think it was Bubba Ray or maybe Booker T. One of them said that leaving WWE and going to a place like AEW that was less organized probably hurt Rusev's career because he got comfortable doing things WWE wouldn't let him do. And so, I mean, TNA run will probably be the best thing for him. But, yeah. No, no.
I mean, maybe he could rehash Rusev Day with – is it his buddy over at commentary? Or is it the other one?
Yeah, his buddy.
Ian English?
Yeah, Ian English. Yeah, he's on commentary at TNA. So that'll definitely get over if he shows up there. Even if he stays as the name Miro –
Miro, still do like Day. Miro Day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't got much more to say about the releases. Any other thing you want to add to that?
Not really. I mean, there's other names I feel like could also be released, but
yeah, but I definitely.
I get to the point where I look at certain parts of the roster, and the problem is that we have a lot of superstars.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are over enough to fill certain parts of the card.
Right.
Like Akira Tozawa. Like, let that man wrestle more. He's a great wrestler, okay?
Right.
He can do more than just be a comedy R-Truth guy.
Right. Like, I think Tozawa can definitely go in the ring. I think the comedy stuff is fun, but at a certain point, like, let the dude wrestle. Even if it's on, like, some other like show that, you know, even if it, again, you got 3 hours on SmackDown now and nothing going on. We'll talk about SmackDown as much as we want to in a few minutes. You could do like a cruiserweight division. You need something to make that third hour feel special. Bring back the cruiserweight division and just have an hour worth of wrestling. And if you're a casual fan and that's not your thing, turn it off. You know, it could be the third hour every episode. You do the normal storyline stuff for 2 hours, and then you have like cruiserweights to end the night. You like
honestly, they should put like what's it called, main event and everything. Put that junk back on TV.
Yeah,
like Saturday Velocity and Sunday Night Heat. Bring that stuff back. Put it on TV because that was a good place for them to show some of their lower talent, bottom of the card guys,
yeah,
and some guys who might potentially get a push.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So we'll transition back to sort of the main topic here, which is I want us, you know, we're two weeks from Saturday away from Elimination Chamber. We sort of have a feeling where the chamber matches are going. I want us to predict the card. So the six people in the chamber. So we know some of them and we'll use those, but then also predict the rest of the card. If you want to go first, definitely go ahead.
You know, I just want to point out, I predicted the men's chamber match perfectly so far. The only spot left up there is the SmackDown spot, which I assume Damian Priest is he? Who did they say who he's facing yet?
It's Priest. I know it's a triple threat. It's Priest, I think Fatu and Strowman.
Okay,
I think if I remember it correctly, which is very easily. You know, Strowman and Fatu are going to get into it. Priest is going to win. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so I think Priest is going to pin Strowman probably.
Yeah, and then next Monday we got Rollins and Finn, yeah. Which I think is pretty easy where that's going to. But
so that chamber match is stacked.
Yeah.
The women's side of the chamber. Who's in that? Yeah, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan.
Alexa, Liv, Bianca so far. And then Bayley qualified last night, didn't she?
Yes. With
Bayley. Yeah. So we have
Liv, Alexa, Bayley, Bianca.
So far. And then Roxanne faces Raquel next Monday. And then Naomi has Chelsea Green on Friday.
I think Naomi wins her qualifying match.
Yeah.
The Roxanne one's interesting.
It is.
Because, you know, if Raquel wins, it gives Liv like a built-in bodyguard in the match. Yep,
it's the Liv story. So either one fits for a storyline. I have Roxanne just because I don't see her taking a loss on her first match on Raw.
Now, Roxanne and Bayley, is that for Vengeance Day? Was it Roxanne, yes, Bayley and Julia?
And Julia, yes.
That's this Sunday, right?
Yes. Bro, I hope Witters did not just fucking spoil NXT for me.
Don't look at it.
I just saw that pop up on my screen.
I think he probably spoiled it, if that's, yeah.
Oh, shit. I was hoping he showed up at fucking Vintage Day. I can't wait to go to fucking Vintage Day. But
all right, well, potential spoiler for you guys, if you haven't watched NXT yet.
Right.
It sounds like Ricky Starks has debuted on NXT.
Oh, shit, that's crazy.
Yep, there's a picture of him on Twitter, WWE Twitter, at WWE on X. Ricky Starks is in the crowd, at the very least.
Oh, good God. Let's go. Okay, that's, oh, man, I was hoping they saved this for Vengeance Day, but even still, probably going to have him do something on the card, which would be interesting. Anyway, we'll continue our regularly scheduled programming. So what's the rest of your card look like other than the two chambers?
I think potentially they might sneak in Io Sky versus Rhea, but I'm still holding out hope that somehow Io finds a way in the chamber.
So I had that match on my card until yesterday. They announced that match is going to be the title match. Rhea versus Io is going to be Monday Night Raw on the go-home show to Chamber in Cincinnati.
So next week?
Not next week, the week after.
Well, when did they announce that?
They announced that yesterday.
On the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have dozed off. I don't recall.
Yeah, so Rhea versus Io is going to happen in Cincinnati on the 24th.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. Because I was sitting here thinking, because I know, in the Discord, I had posted like my chamber and who I thought was going to win. And I still think Bianca's going to win the chamber. And you're like, no, Rio's going to face Io. Io's going to get back in the chamber. And I was sitting there, we could do an attack angle somehow and have her like attack Liv Morgan or something. And so I could see it happening. I just, ooh, with them doing the title match on the 24th, I don't know if she gets into chamber.
Or Raquel wins her match against Roxanne, and then Io and Dakota jump Raquel backstage, mm-hmm, and Raquel can't make it to the chamber.
Right. I mean, they could do something. They could do something like that. I could see a situation where Io Sky gets into chamber, and if she does, she's winning.
Especially I feel like Raquel is the easiest name to, mm-hmm, where you can injure her and fans won't really
care.
Yeah, they won't. Yeah, they won't be mad and uproar.
The other situation I could think of is I mentioned on one of my solo shows that I think at some point between now and Mania, Bianca's going to attack Naomi the way I think she attacked Jade. Go fully heel. I think another situation could happen where like Naomi wins her match this Friday, like they could start with her, and then like halfway through the show, they do the little, we need someone in the back, what's happening, and then we see her fucking pushed onto a car windshield and like, Naomi's out,
and then Jade returns somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
Now what if we, what if somehow we get through chamber, right? Mm. Say, like, I don't know. Say Liv Morgan wins chamber, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think there's a world where WWE will kind of book a Liv versus Io versus Rhea? Say Io pins Liv at Mania, and then we run Rio versus Rhea at, like, Backlash?
I don't know. I'm just tired of the whole Liv Rhea story.
Mm.
So I think we put that to bed. I'm not sold on the whole Rhea versus Io thing. I understand why people want it. It would be a great match. I'm not going to say it's not.
Io's getting over though. You heard her in that Nashville crowd was fucking with her last night.
Yeah. She's there. I just personally, for me, I just think it doesn't do anything, and it may just be because I have this whole situation, you know, where I want it to be Bianca, and so I'm biased. And if I take myself out of that position, like Rhea versus Io would be a very, very good WrestleMania match. Like it would be the bigger of the wrestling side of the women's card, where Charlotte versus Tiffany would be like the big names, the sort of glamour show.
The main problem is like, it's only if Bianca wins, then you gotta go into the backstage logisticals, where it's like, okay, well now Bianca, if she beats Rhea, you know, say assuming she beats Rhea at Mania, Bianca is now a Raw superstar, and then you know, then you gotta like bring Montez Ford and the Profits over to make Bianca happy. You know, they kind of like keeping the couples together, but then if you bring Bianca Belair over, then you're kind of pausing the Jade storyline or the Naomi storyline.
But I don't. So personally, I don't think they are. Like when I always come up with ideas like this, I always try to think long term. To me, my booking for this is Bianca wins Chamber, she wins at Mania, and the Raw after Mania, you have Jade. That's when Jade returns and she comes out, acts like she's congratulating Bianca, and then she attacks her. You know, says, you know, that's for, you know, then she points at the screen, like I got all this footage. Look, I know it was you who attacked me. And then that starts the feud towards SummerSlam, where you can have, I say, Jade win the title at SummerSlam. I know a lot of people don't think Jade's ready for the title. I think with one, you know, I think she's good enough. She's figured out her style in WWE that with a very good feud with Bianca through the summer, I think she'd be over enough for people to be okay with her as champion.
I feel like the gap between SummerSlam and WrestleMania is too big now. Or sorry, from WrestleMania to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Because they have like two shows in between now, don't they? They got Backlash, you got King of the Ring.
Backlash, you got whatever the Saudi show is, then you got Money in the Bank.
Yeah, so I feel like it's gonna be after WrestleMania, like if you don't do like right after Mania, I feel like it gets too late, but then it's also too early to push it to SummerSlam.
Right. I feel what you're saying. Which is why typically they use Backlash as like it's just rehash Mania, and then they don't really start new stories until, and if they're going to keep it as King and Queen of the Ring, you could have a situation to where Jade comes back, enters the tournament, and wins that or something. Who knows? I get what you're saying. At this point, the current way it's set up, and Io's not in it, I'm still holding on that Bianca's going to do it. I can see Liv winning. None of the others, I think, have a legitimate chance winning.
Yeah, I don't see Alexa has fan support, but she's not.
Yeah,
ring ready. I don't think.
Yeah, Alexa, I don't think is there. Assuming it's going to be Roxanne and Bayley, that's going to be. I think it was Witters who mentioned it in the Discord that's going to probably happen on Stand and Deliver, which I actually like because one of the big problems we've had is finding room for all the big stars on Mania. We'll just use Stand and Deliver as a third show and put someone like a Bayley on that card.
What's your plan for Nia? Do you think is Nia versus Tiffany at the Chamber? Or is that that's this Friday?
I think that's this Friday. Which, if the ticket prices keep going down, I'm going to be in D.C. for fucking Vengeance Day. If the ticket prices go down on Game Time to where it's reasonable for me to spend money on another show, I'll probably go to SmackDown, which will be three shows in 4 days because I'm going to Vengeance Day and Raw on Monday. So, it'll be a lot of wrestling in my future, probably. But
So you're going to Vengeance Day in D.C. and then on your way back or something in Cincinnati?
No. So Cincinnati's in 2 weeks. Raw is in Charlotte next week. Where I live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So the rest of my card, so that we can sort of, it is about 6 hours, and hopefully the snow's gone by the time I get up there, because I ain't got time for that.
The roads are clear right now, at least where I live, roads are clear.
to the rest of my card, because I think Sammy versus KO happens to start the feud Toronto, headed to Mania. And then the only – I have four matches with this one. So it's KO, Sammy, the two chambers, and then I have Street Profits versus Motor City Machine Guns in a non-title that may be, like, number one contender, and it could end with, like, DIY attacking, and that sets up the Mania triple threat. But that's what I see happening. You have any other differences?
I mean, you could also throw in the War Raiders versus the Creeds, or is that next week on Raw?
I think that was this week on Raw
for the title. The War Raiders and the Creeds didn't fight this week.
I could have sworn that
they had a hype ass promo video.
I could have sworn that that was a match on Raw.
I could, did I just fall asleep for all of Raw and not realize?
I mean, I wasn't really paying attention to Raw because I wasn't all that into it, but I could have sworn that they had a match.
Monday Raw or I guess it did happen. I guess I just missed it. Hey. All right, let me go to WWE's YouTube page. A guy Googled it and then some random YouTube page popped up. Am I tweaking?
Yeah, it's right here. Raw review from Cage Side Seats. Creed Brothers versus
I missed that banger of a match. Damn, I fell asleep there.
It looks like you missed some Raw too.
Yeah, so I'm looking through the car and the YouTube videos. Right. I recall Jay and Gunther. Mm-hmm. I recall the women's tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
I recall Bayley and Lyra. I recall AJ and Dom and Carlito in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I missed the part where Braun Breaker confronted AJ Styles backstage.
It was just a stare down. It wasn't like a big confrontation.
I also missed Finn Balor snapping at Dominic Mysterio backstage. I might be a little gazy, a little glazy during that part. And then, I guess I just was asleep for the fucking main event. Co-main event. Because then they had Logan Paul and CM Punk, which I watched.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mysterio vs. Logan Paul, which I also watched. Damn, I was asleep for the War Raiders and American Main match. I dozed off and just don't recall.
That's crazy.
Oh, that was my match for Elimination Chamber.
I'm sure because it ended in. I'm sure you'll go back and watch it. Ended in no DQ or in a DQ, so I'm sure they could run it back if they wanted to. Because the Creeds attacked them with the belts, and that's what ended the match.
Monday Night Raw doesn't even show the finish.
Really?
Yeah, that's Monday Night Raw, it just shows, what was it called? Like the 1-2, they're counting 1-2, one of the Creeds broke it up, all four of them lay in the ring, and then the YouTube video just cut to black. It didn't even show the end of the match.
That's great. So for the parts of Raw you remember, we could talk about that. So let's answer this question because it's, Nerdy D does a hot take segment, and I think it was B Master who put something that the Yeet chants go on for too long, and I've heard that crowd reaction from some people. Mostly it's from people like James and Cody who don't watch the show, but I tell them we have 10 minutes of Yeeting to start the show, and they laugh at it. What do you think about having 10 minutes each night?
I mean, if the crowd wants it, you give it to the crowd, crowd. I think it was smart because actually I was thinking about it. I was like, if Gunther really wants to get heat, Gunther should interrupt the encore.
Right.
I thought he's interrupted by his music hitting. Mm-hmm. He interrupted by physically attacking.
Because it would be really entertaining because Jay sort of plays it up before they start his music again, if he sort of like rolls his fingers and gets ready to yeet, and then they play Gunther's music instead. Mm-hmm. And so that would be really good. So my thoughts on it have changed a little bit. At first I was like, this is too much, but there's something about Jey Uso's, just, this isn't like something that's forced on you. Like, there, to me, at times I felt like the Yes Movement was kind of forced. It felt like it was sort of like planned backstage. I don't think they planned for this to happen, and now they're just executing it. I don't think they planned for Yeet to be over as much as it is. I don't think they planned for Jey to be over as much as he is.
I will say they do got to insert the Yeet moment a different part of the show.
Yeah, they can't just do it to start the show.
I clicked on, I was leaving work. I leave work at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I click on the Raw. I put it on my speaker in my car, and I kind of listen to it while I listen/watch it when I'm going home. And, you know, I click on the episode. You know, it was like 801, 802. And, like, Jey Uso was, like, you know, he's in the, and you know, what's it called, in the vendor section. Mm-hmm. He's about to get ready to walk in, and he starts yeeting. And I'm like, did I click on last week's episode by accident? Like, right. I had to like double check the date to make sure I clicked like the live Raw,
right.
And not last week. So I really thought I was watching a replay for a second.
Yeah, I do think placing him, I understand why you place him at the start of the show, because it hypes the crowd up. But I think you gotta put him in different parts, you know, of the show. Another thing I'll talk about is the last 2 weeks. So this yesterday and the week before. This, like, quick finish to the show where, like, an ambush will happen and then the screen will just go to black. Because it happened this week with the New Day attacking Mysterio. Where, like, they started beating them up and then it just goes to black. Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of that. Like, I can see if you want to leave it on, like, a cliffhanger. But if you're going to do that every week, I don't know. It just – I'm glad they fixed their technical issues from last week where it was glitching all the damn time.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
But the only thing I wish that we would have, I know we got a segment for it, like a vignette for it, but had Kevin Owens to sort of play up this feud since Sammy's not going to be there because he's injured. Mm-hmm. I also want to know, like, now that the move is sort of allowed back, are we just going to hurt everyone who's ever takes the package pile driver? Like, this is three people now. They have to get stretchered off. At one point, it becomes kind of silly. It loses its effect the third time it happens.
Yeah.
My other thing is, it happened to Cody. This dude's still wrestling. Where the fuck's Randy?
Randy, you know, he old. He already got former problems.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I got you. I understand. We were talking before the show. There ain't much to talk about with SmackDown. SmackDown, I don't honestly remember a thing that happened on SmackDown other than the qualifiers.
And Charlotte and Tiffy were in the ring. And Charlotte looks like a.
Yeah, I don't know who did her plastic surgery, but she needs to go like somewhere Rick. Else. She needs to go somewhere. Like, she looks bad. It's bad.
She looks too much like Ric Flair. It doesn't not look good.
Yeah. We'll round this out. Who's your MVP of the week?
MVP of the week. I thought about it earlier. I had a good answer, I thought, but I can't remember. Who's your MVP of the week?
This week was sort of tough to pick someone because there wasn't really someone to me that stood out that. Like, you know, I could go with Jey Uso again, but I feel like that's repetitive. You could say Jey Uso's MVP every week. He's going to get the loudest responses.
I'm picking Kevin Owens.
I like that. I'm going to go Logan Paul this week. First off, already better than Hangman Adam Page. So that move is no longer the Buckshot Lariat. It's whatever the – which I find it interesting. They give him a new finisher. Which is that thing is when he did it, that thing was hot. That thing was good. I think what they call that, the pulverizer, which is a great name for it.
Shout out to Rey Mysterio for the
sale. I don't know if that's what they initially wanted to call it or if Pat just made that up. But very good either way. And Rey was good to be the first one to do it on because mm-hmm. he's going to sell it. I'm going to go Logan Paul. Part of me, there's a part of me that feels like he could win Chamber.
Logan Paul versus John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, okay. That's where I believe it's headed to. I'll say this about Raw. I really hate, and this was, I think, someone's hot take for Nerdy, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I hate that they had Jay pick so early. I think he should have drew it out a little bit more. We knew it was going to be him versus Gunther, so I don't hate it as much. And I'll talk about this more on Friday because I think there's a better story long term for Cody versus Jay than Cody versus Gunther. But again, it's because I really want Gunther versus Cena. And, you know, if I take a step back from that booking and realize that's not happening and we're going to get Logan Paul versus Cena, and that makes the most sense.
Especially because Logan Paul was talking a lot of junk about Cena online mm-hmm. as far as, like, his YouTube channel and, like, yep. his other collabs with other people.
Right.
And, like, and all the recordings that happened backstage at Rumble. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was all played up or whatever. But, you know, he saw, like,
yeah,
John screwed me over. He betrayed me. I blame John Cena for losing. Yada yada.
Yeah, and wasn't it Cena that eliminated Logan Paul?
Yep.
Yeah, and at the Rumble. So I think Punk is definitely going to win Chamber, and we'll get to Chamber predictions in 2 weeks. But I'm leaning more towards Wavy D had this right the whole time, and we're going to get CM Punk versus Cody. Wavy's got a better hand on this. You know, I'd be fantasy booking sometimes. Wavy's going to bring back that reality. So we'll jump over sort of great transition to our first question here. And it's not the first one that was asked because we're going to save the food question for last like we always do.
Yes, sir.
So the first one, and these may be out of order. I copied and pasted them weird. Is John Cena going to win his 17th world title, or is he just going to be put here to put over the next generation? My answer is going to be both. I think he's going to do a little bit of both. I think we just got to be patient with 17, though. I think the way you've booked them where it's he missed it at Rumble. He's going to miss it at Chamber. He's going to miss it at Mania. You know, he's going to miss a match at Mania. He's going to enter King in the Ring and probably miss it there. He's going to miss winning it at Money in the Bank. And so we could see sort of like a this is my last chance type thing where he – my fear with doing that is that means that he probably won't win the IC title unless it's like a really quick run at the very, very end, like the last month or two. So I think he's going to win 17. But I think in the process, he's going to put over a Logan Paul. He's going to put over Bron Breakker. He's going to put over probably, you know, they're rumoring that he's going to get his own little, like, go-home show, PLE, in Boston in December. What a great place to put over some like Carmelo Hayes. So I think he puts over the next generation, but at the same time, he's going to tell a story with it. And so...
Now, what's your view? I see a lot of people who have mixed feelings on this. Do you think John Cena is too animated right now? Kind of too gimmicked up? Like he's not like a lot of people want to see Cena from like 07 right. to 2014 kind of thing.
Right. So
he's just like a wrestler, another wrestler.
So what I see it as is John Cena's really put made his mark in Hollywood as being this like comedic type gimmick on TV. And I think that's all he's doing. So like, I'm sure they're talking about like, he was super overselling certain parts of Rumble.
And he's like, oh, he was over animated.
I don't hate it, to be honest with you. Cause I think it's sort of like if, you know, there's a certain character, you now expect John Cena to play in Hollywood. There's a certain character you expect, you know, Kevin Hart to play in any movie he plays in. And so I think I think Cena's got to, you know, he's got to not only protect, you know, his WWE image and being the super baby face, he's also got to protect, you know, what he does best in Hollywood. And if he comes out and is like Super Cena 07, where he's just dominating everyone and he's super serious and hustle, loyalty, and respect, I think he just wants to have fun with it too.
He seems like someone that's like, he seems like someone who's playing John Cena rather than being John Cena.
Right. I feel that. I mean, it could get annoying if he does it all the time, but I think with Rumble, a lot of it was just him being comedic and sort of playing up the moment, because he was sort of like doing it a lot with like Punk and Roman, sort of like playing up that moment. And so if it's one of these things that he continues to do it and he's sort of like acting as John Cena, then I could see where it can get annoying. I didn't hate it that much in the Rumble though. Next one. This was definitely Wittered. I remember asking this. From today to Raw after Mania, how many title changes do you think we see on the main roster? I'm gonna go with like 4. I think. Now I gotta think. Jay's definitely gonna win one at Mania. I don't see Cody dropping his. I could see one of the women's changing, either Io or whoever wins Chamber beating Rhea. I can't see Tiffy dropping the title. I know there's a lot of people who think Charlotte's back and she's just gonna be same old Charlotte. I just can't see them taking the title off of Tiffany. I could see the Creeds winning the tag titles at some point, and hopefully the Profits win at Mania. And then Breaker's probably losing the IC title at Mania. And we'll go with 5. I don't think Shinsuke's going to drop it anytime soon, unfortunately. but yeah, I'm going to go with 5. I can't really see any of the other ones changing hands at the moment.
Let's see. Up to WrestleMania, I got Gunther losing. I got Braun Breaker losing. I got Rhea losing.
Mm-hmm.
I got Chelsea losing. The tag team titles switch hands. The women's tag team titles, the SmackDown tag titles, United States Championship. I got 7 title changes. I got 7.
Mm.
I think the U.S. title gets changed in a ladder match. So,
yeah,
Shinsuke don't know what to do with the title, bro. He
literally, right. I
watching
agree.
SmackDown, so, he stands in the background of like,
yeah,
him just looking standing in the background.
So I actually swapped my ladder match to the U.S. one, because I do think it's just going to be Sheamus and Braun. And I think there's a better storyline for a ladder match, because yeah, Shinsuke needs to drop right today. But look here,
he's barely even on the show. I mean, like,
I'm
it was a mistake to give him the title. I called it back then. I was like,
I'm a pause this originally scheduled program to call my fucking brother right now. This motherfucker over here talking about WWE tampering on Ricky Starks. Like, shut up. Here's the thing with this. First off, you can't. I'm gonna go in this on Friday because I didn't expect this to happen. So now I have something to actually talk about. But you can't tamper in wrestling. Like, tampering doesn't exist in wrestling because the contracts aren't public knowledge. So if WWE calls up Ricky Starks and like, hey man, are you free? That's not tampering. Like, it's not, and there's also no rules against it. Like, tampering is only bad because there's a rule against it in the NFL. So we got to stop with this bullshit. Oh, that contract was signed pretty fast. Yeah, I mean, if he was released yesterday, he could call Cody and be like, hey, I'm free. I'll sign today. It's not that hard. I can see AEW fans are big mad. But anyway, we'll go back. on that same topic, next question is, do you think Britt Baker comes to WWE? And when she's released, yes. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. I don't think WWE's going to rush to sign her.
Right.
But if they have a story that they want to tell or something, and I think you bring her in.
And it doesn't have to be like
a Ricky.
Right. I think it'll be one of those things where if she does it, she'll debut at like a big event, like Stand and Deliver. And she'll do like the NXT route. I don't think they'll throw her straight on to the main roster. They sort of have this pipeline now where if they sign you from AEW, you're going to NXT. They did it with Ricky Starks, Sean Spears, Ethan Page. So the problem with that is the women's division in NXT is so stacked that I feel like if Britt does get signed, granted, I think she has like 18 months left on her contract. So in 2 years, who knows what the roster looks like. But yeah, I think she comes to WWE. She's one of the ones, like, I don't know how committed she is because I know she still wants to be, like, the dentist. So I don't know how committed she'll be to it and how committed they'll be to her, like, getting pushed in, like, a championship role. This is Kara's question. This was a good one. Kara's very creative with her questions. You're explaining the Super Bowl to a wrestling fan who doesn't watch football. What match would you compare Super Bowl 59 to for that wrestling fan to get an idea of what happened between the Eagles and the Chiefs?
Let's see.
So if you want to think about it, I already got one.
I mean, off rip, I'm thinking Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 40.
Right.
That's the easy answer.
That one fits. Cody gave me a good answer as well because I asked him this one when I was at work with him today. But mine was Undertaker Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 26. But there's a whole setup here. At WrestleMania 25, it was the close match. Anyone could win. You know, and that was the first matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Very close, came down to the wire. And then 26, you had Undertaker just beat the living shit out of Shawn Michaels, which is what the Eagles just did to the Chiefs. Cody's answer to me was Lesnar versus
John Cena at SummerSlam.
Well, he said Lesnar versus Goldberg. Because the first time it happened, again, it was very close. You had he added in, like, there was, because Stone Cold was the ref. So there was, like, the allegations that the ref was cheating, which is what the whole game was surrounded by before the game started. And then the second matchup between Goldberg and Lesnar, SummerSlam, like, 2017, Goldberg just got the shit beat out of him. So I could see that one, too. Obviously,
Lesnar's seen the SummerSlam of 2014 when Lesnar brought belt to ass on Cena.
Yeah,
suplex, 16 fucking suplexes on John Cena.
Yeah, that was a crazy match. That was crazy. Like that was like peak Brock Lesnar. That was right when I was getting back in the wrestling, and Lesnar was just beating the shit out of everybody.
Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston.
Yeah. So that was a great question. Keep those coming, Kara. You're one of the creative question askers in the Discord. Witters always loves to do these, like, you know, who's the better talent? And then he gives us like seven different situations. So it's only three this time, but so between these two, Becky and Liv, who's better? Becky, this was actually Lynch tougher. Like, if you ask me this. Yeah, Liv Morgan or Becky Lynch. If you asked me this 2 years ago, 100% I would say Becky. But Liv has definitely grown on me in the last 2 years.
Liv has grown on me in the last year. I remember last year when she returned to Rumble, I was one of the biggest haters, especially when she was getting pushed towards like possibly getting that Mania spot from Becky against Rhea. I was kind of pissed. I still think Becky Lynch is the better wrestler. Because like I think Becky can have a great match against any women's wrestler.
Right, right.
Where there's times where I see Liv struggle with certain talent. And so I think Becky
so,
is their overall talent.
I think if we're going like if we're doing, you know, Nerdy D likes to do like the stat categories like they do in NBA Jam. So if we're going like promo ability, I think Liv's better at the promos. Becky just seems robotic at her promos.
Well, she got the WWE style down.
Yeah.
She's kind of like Cody, where she just talks too much.
Yeah.
But, like, she can out-promo most wrestlers on the roster.
Right. And then if you go, like, in-ring, I think Becky has it. I think presentation-wise, I think a lot of people would choose Liv because she's hotter than Becky. Mm. But I think Becky has a better overall, like, presentation.
Well, aura.
You're right. And so I'm with you. I'll lean towards Becky there. His next one is Carmelo Hayes or Xavier Woods.
Who's the better in-ring talent, like X's and O's wrestling? So if we're talking about who's the better talent, okay, wrestling talent today, I'll say Carmelo Hayes because keep it a buck. Xavier Woods is probably one of the wrestlers he looked up to and learned from. So he can do all of Xavier's moves, but I don't know if Xavier can do all of Carmelo's moves.
Right.
But then also, Carmelo's is great on the mic, but I think Xavier is better on the mic. Because I don't know if Carmelo's range, if he has as much promo range as Xavier does. Like, we see Xavier be the babyface of all babyfaces, and now he's the heel of all heels.
Right.
So, whereas Carmelo, I mean, he's like a cool face, but he's nothing like he's not nothing right home about.
Right.
And as a heel, he's we've seen his character before. It's like MVP. We've seen his character, so I would say Xavier is a better overall wrestler, like as far as like you count all the categories. But Carmelo's the best in ring talent between the two.
Yeah,
the better in ring talent.
Yeah, I'll go Xavier. I also think. When you talk about like that range, like when Melo was a face, he was still the super like super cocky face. So he was sort of so he's never really played like the super baby face of all baby faces, like New Day at their peak of slinging pancakes type baby faces. And until I see that, I can't say he's the best. I think that's the hardest type of gimmick to get over is like the white meat baby face. Because the crowd is already going to be not like you. And so you got to really force them to like you. And then his last one is Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens. I'm going Kevin. I think Kevin Owens just – I think he's more versatile. He's definitely better as a heel. But – I think he's better in the ring. I think he's the dude that you asked to put over anyone. Sammy can be put in that same situation, but I don't know. This one's probably tough. This one's the toughest.
I don't know if you know this, but it feels like over the years, Sammy has lost some of his in-ring moveset.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why he stopped doing that dive through the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he used to do like the diving DDT?
Yeah,
through the turnbuckle. I thought he started because he was a heel for a long time, so he started doing the blade face move. But he's, as a face, he doesn't do the move anymore. And so I don't know. If Sammy just lost a little bit of his not lost, but as you get older, you do moves less and less frequently. They don't have to. Whereas I feel like Kevin is doing more and more, or still doing the same stuff.
Yeah,
I picked Kevin over Sammy. Sammy just still does a really good promo. He does really good storytelling. I think Kevin's also a great storyteller.
All right, and then the last wrestling related question that I'm gonna put on here: why is the IC Women's Champion trying to get onto WrestleMania? I'm assuming he means like in the chamber, because you have Lyra wrestling Bayley. You can ask the same question about Chelsea against Naomi on Friday as well. Why are the mid-card champions trying to get into chamber Shouldn't every champion automatically have a ticket to WrestleMania? So this is two questions in one. So the first part is, I don't know why Triple H is doing this. I think this is bad booking to begin with. It's what part of the reason why I said Triple H really needs to set these mid-card titles apart. Again, Wavy D was right hands on this one, where if they don't give them any benefit of having two champions, why the fuck do we have two of them? Right? Wavy D, again, has proven himself that he has a better ear to how to book this shit than some of us.
I got that pole son of a bitch.
And so there should be no reason why. Like, I understand Chelsea Green more because it's Toronto. Like, you want to get the Canadian on the card. But, like, Lyra Valkyria should be worrying about who her next opponent is. And instead, she's either wrestling to get in chamber or she's sitting in the crowd.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the very basic motivation of being a double champion.
Right.
But I know Chelsea mentioned it slightly, but neither women have really, like, mentioned, I want to be a double champion. I want to be a double champion.
But it's like... It's also like what you mentioned when they first debuted the titles. It doesn't feel like they're utilizing the whole women's roster. There's not enough women to have two divisions on both shows, which again just shows that you understand the product more than probably the bookers. But it's showing now that they don't have two full divisions, and then they just released half the mid card that they did use. So it's one of those things where, like, I don't understand the booking either. But the second part of the question that he asked is, shouldn't every champion automatically have a ticket to Mania? My question to that is no. Certain mid-cards, you know, you've mentioned Mania is a full week now in how we book. And so I do think, you know, Lyra and Chelsea will probably defend on Raw and SmackDown. I think there's a very good possibility of the tag belts could be defended on a Raw or a SmackDown. Because you do also have some of these grudge matches that we have to take care of.
I feel like Chelsea has an easier case to make it onto Mania. Because a Chelsea Green match doesn't have to be 15, 20 minutes long. Right. A Chelsea Green match is, look at my entrance, I'm so fabulous. Now let's do a couple of, like, comedy spots.
Right.
And let Chelsea get a little bit of offense in. And she goes, oh, get attacked. And then you grab her by the hair and you hit your finisher. Match over.
Especially with someone like Piper, where Piper could just, you know, chase her around the arena for 2 minutes and then hit a finisher and the match is over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think every title should just automatically be on Mania. To me, personally, it's all about storyline. And, and then the last question here, you know, Witters has brought back our food-based questions, which we love over here.
Mm.
Which, by the way, no one voted outside of me and Wavy D and Kara. I think it was Kara. Maybe it was Witter. There's only three votes on it. Technically, I won, but that doesn't count. I need some more voting participation if we're going to do this. This one's not really who did the best. He just wants to know, rank these three burgers between McDonald's Big Mac, Wendy's Dave Single, and Burger King's Whopper.
First of all, there's a mistake right already, okay?
There's no Baconator.
Yeah, fuck the Dave Single, okay?
Right,
We're doing the Baconator.
Let's change it. Because that is the signature sandwich, is the Baconator. So that's going to replace the Dave Single.
And I'm picking the Baconator.
That's your number one?
Yeah, the Big Mac, the bun, lettuce, meat ratio is way off, okay? Big Mac sauce is cool. But it's overhyped.
Right.
All right. The Whopper, low-key. In the Northeast, people don't really go Burger King like that. Right. Burger King is chill. Like, it's cool. They have very, like, large, like, very wide burgers. They're very wide. Right.
They're big as shit for no reason.
But I feel like they'd be lacking the sauce sometimes.
Yeah. So,
but then the Baconator got the bacon, the cheese,
right?
The
so if we were going to do the original and include the Dave Single, the Big Mac was going to be my choice. But since we swapped it to the bacon, that's the best sandwich in fast food, if we're going to be honest with you. And there's something with Wendy's. Their buns are just weirdly soft, and I fucking love it. I love Wendy's buns, which is a weird sentence to say. That sounds like something Samoa Joe would have said in his feud to AJ Styles. The Big Mac, I'm with you. First off, if they would stop using that sliced, like, the fucking, like, shredded lettuce and use, like, normal fucking leaf lettuce, I would probably enjoy it more because I hate getting lettuce everywhere. Because I'm the type of person that, like, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat in the car, and I just get lettuce everywhere. Same thing with, like, their McChickens. First off, y'all be loading that shit up with fucking mayonnaise for no fucking reason.
I fucked the mayonnaise part, though.
I mean, it's good if it's not fucking the whole sandwich is mayonnaise.
Now, what you got to do is you got to throw some fries in that bitch.
Right, I feel you. I feel you. Yeah, so the Big Macs, too. The Whopper, I'm going to say this. I fucking hate Burger King. I fucking hate it with a passion.
I like the Bacon King, I think it's called. I like that.
Yeah. So I like their chicken sandwiches. Not the long one, the actual chicken breast. That long one's always fucking burnt.
It's just salty, too.
But I'm not a big fan of their like char-grilled burgers anyway. If you've ever seen Burger King make their burgers, they fucking slide them in this machine and they just get torched for 30 seconds. I like my burgers actually cooked on a flat top. That's just my preference though. But yeah, Baconator without a doubt is the top tier fast food burger. If we're talking about like big global, not like national chains, we can get to like local shit. And I'm sure we each have like local spots that are better, but so that's that. Now we're going to move on to Thirsty Tuesday. We're on to round number two. And so I randomized these matchups.
Shout out to James, bro. Shout out to James real fast. James been dropping some gems in the other Discord.
In the other Discord for Baddie of the Week?
Yeah, he been dropping some gems in there. Shout out to James for dropping the indie gems.
He be fucking finding like people no one ever heard of. Just researching. He be doing his research. That's what I need y'all to do with this Thirsty Tuesday. Don't just take the picture I use. Do your research.
Me and James went to like Nashville. Yeah, me and James will have the time of our lives, but we about to have the same women.
So for Thirsty Tuesday, representing TNA's for round two first matchup, we have Tessa Blanchard versus Gia Miller. Again, do your research. NXT, we're going to have Tatum Paxley versus Jasmine Nix. That one might be closer than it sounds right now. The main roster, this one's going to hurt me because y'all going to pick is Kathleen Kelly versus Bianca Belair. And y'all going to fucking gang up against me and pick fucking Kathleen Kelly. And y'all going to hurt my feelings. And then AEW, we got Harley Cameron versus Julia Hart. Which is going to be a crazy matchup. First off, it shouldn't have even been Julia Hart. Should have been Britt Baker, but this is going crazy. But that's the matchups for this week. So as I post those pictures in the Discord, we're going to let Wavy D give his final thoughts and see where this leads.
All right. So, you know, I've been taking you on my journey, Wavy, finding love. Now, you know, I told y'all last week I had a date lined up. You know what I'm saying? But in the Northeast, you know what I'm saying, we got a little thing called snow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it snowed, and we had a little snow and ice storm Friday into Saturday. Or no, sorry, Saturday into Sunday, I mean. So we had to postpone. You know, we had to take a little rain check, you know what I'm saying? A little snow check on the date. You know what I'm saying? We're still going strong on the date, you know what I'm saying? Hilly, it says I got like 25 girls who liked me, but like, you know, they're all blurred. I'm not running across none of them. I swear,
bro, that should be getting on my nerve.
They're probably out in Alaska and shit. I'm like, and then over on the other one on Duet, you know what I'm saying? I got some matches too, but a lot of it's just like, hey. Yeah, like talking don't go too far, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I gotta regroup, find a new approach. Actually, no, I don't need a new approach. I got a couple of shorties up in Texas, so I just gotta keep that up, keep that going. There's some nice quality young women, so you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna talk to them. We need searching.
Heard. So that's another episode here. Y'all tune in Friday I don't know when I'm going to be able to record it. It might be from my hotel later that night. Depends. But it'll be up either Friday or Saturday because I ain't got shit to do on Saturday before the show. So, but it's going to be a rant central episode. I got some shit to rant about. So tune in for Friday. And until then, we will see y'all next week. Same time, same place. Right here on the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Me Wrestling every Tuesday.